It's good to be here. Brother Dan, if you'd have known that, you could have went somewhere else. This will be twice in very recent times you've had to listen to me preach, brother. Before I get started, I have a prayer request. I've got a good friend of mine who pastors a church in Covington, Georgia. His name is Alan Meyerholtz. And Alan has recently found out that he's got prostate cancer. And then within a couple of weeks of finding that out, he's got a heart blockage now too. And they got to get the heart thing fixed before they can work on the cancer. So, and his insurance is pathetic and it's slowing everything down and he's trying to get it done, but they're putting everything off, putting it off. So if y'all would pray for him that everything will get worked out where he can get back and get doing what he's supposed to be doing, I would truly appreciate that. Brother Alan Meyerholtz. He pastors Landmark Baptist Church in Covington, Georgia. Amen. And a fine young man, too. I like him an awful lot. Good guy. So, if you remember that, please. Now, I want to start out, kind of give you, not like a warning, I don't guess would be the word for it, but a disclaimer. Because y'all know me, sometimes I get a little blubbery sometimes. Things in the Bible get a hold of me. Things in this book that have affected my life, they mean something to me. And when they mean something to you, sometimes they get to you real strong. And I'm already starting, and I ain't even got into the scripture yet. But I just pray that God will give me whatever it takes to get past me and get into this like I ought to. Because I hope this will help somebody. I really do. That's what I'm here for tonight. So if you got your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to Isaiah chapter 55. That'll be our springboard. We won't be there at all. I'm just using that because it says what I want to say right here at the beginning. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7, the perfect text reads this. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Father, Lord, I just thank you for allowing me to stand here again today. I ask you, Lord, that you'd use me for your vessel. Hide me behind the cross of the Lord Jesus, Lord. Let me not be seen, but let him be lifted up today. Father, you know the hearts of your people, and I ask you to speak to them, Lord. I can get in their ears, but I can't get to their heart, Lord, and you can. So help your folks today here, Lord, and hide me again. Use me, Lord, and let me be your vessel today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Now, I want to preach tonight on the subject of return unto the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. There's probably nobody in here that at one point in your life you didn't need to return unto the Lord. Every one of us get in those places. We all have a dual nature. We all have two men living inside us. You've got an old man and a new man. And when you feed the old man, he's going to take charge and he's going to run your life. And he's going to drag you to a place where you never thought you could ever be. Now, I know right now I've got a man in mind and a lot of you know him. And this message has spoke volumes to me about him and how he's been. And I know him. And I know one of these days he's going to come to himself and he's going to turn around and he's going to return to the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. If you knew him like I knew him, you would never have expected ever to find him in the spot he's in. And that's the thing we need to think about ourselves. Never ever get to thinking you're too good to fall. Never ever get to thinking that you can't mess up and wind up doing just anything that anybody else has ever done. And I'm not trying to get ahead of myself, but folks, we as a body, we fail a lot of times when our brothers and sisters have fallen. We fail them, and we shouldn't do that. So I'm going to jump right in here. I need to get started. I don't want to be late. I don't want to hold you long. I want to be aware of the time, so I'm going to keep my watch right there or right here where I might be able to see it. And let's look at Simon Peter. Anytime you think about somebody fallen that would need to return unto the Lord, it's hard not to think about Simon Peter, you know. And we get pretty hard on him sometimes, but now I'm going to tell you something. He was a man. You know, he was a full-grown man, and he was a soldier for the Lord. He really got out there and done battle. Now, you know, he fell. Yes, he did. And he denied the Lord. But I know a bunch of us that have done the same thing. So let's look at what happened with Simon Peter. First of all, his failure was foretold. In Luke 22, from 31, we read this. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. Well, that right there means more than you'll ever get. You will never get a hold of something like that if you don't study that just a little while. My buddy Wayne Black tells me that all the time. Ricky, the Lord's praying for you. You think about that. You think about Jesus Christ praying for you. Do you think he's ever had a prayer unanswered? I mean, let's ask. You know, think about that just a second. He has never, ever had a prayer that didn't get answered. God answered his prayers. You know, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, Father, I know you always hear me. Now, I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. He said, but I know you always hear me, but because of these that stand by have I said it. Lazarus, come forth. He didn't have to say that. He didn't have to do that. His prayer was answered before he ever opened his mouth. See, Jesus Christ's prayer was answered. So here's what he said. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And I think he meant that. I believe with all my heart that he meant that. He said, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Don't you know that had to crush him? Don't you know what he felt like? I mean, here's Peter. He's followed the Lord vehemently. He has been on him. He's been with him all over the place. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's seen all this stuff happen. He's watched the folks be healed. He knew the power of the Lord. He'd healed his mother-in-law for him. And here he is. He's telling him, you're going to deny me, son. And we get like that. Oh, I got this. I'm a big man. I can take this. You ain't going to make me fall. We all get like that sometimes. Hey, you know you're headed for a fall when you get like that. You are headed for a terrible spot when you get to thinking, yep, it's all right, Lord, I got this. You better think about that. You better think about it more than once. But you know what happened? Look, you know, in verse 22, or in verse 36, chapter 22 here in Luke, you know the Lord told them to buy a sword. He said, if you got two cloaks, sell one of them, buy a sword. You might need it. Well, when it come to the garden, when you come down to the garden, when they came to get the Lord and to take him away, what did Peter do? He snatched that sword out and he hacked that guy's ear right off. This is a guard. This is a bunch of troops. This is soldiers. What was it? A centurion was there, so that must have been 100 soldiers there. They come to get the Lord and Peter snatched that sword, buddy. He was ready to fight. He said he was, right? That's what he said. But you know what happened? His faith never failed. I think about that all the time. When Peter fell, when Peter denied the Lord, his faith didn't fall. The Lord said, I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted. See, that's what converted him was his faith. His faith didn't fail. It stayed. His flesh failed. His flesh failed. Because that's what he was dependent on right there. That's what he was looking for to help him. Not the faith, not the Savior, but his flesh. And that's what failed him. The Lord's prayer was answered. His faith did not fail. We'll see that in a few minutes when he comes back. When he returns unto the Lord, what do you think brought him back? It was his faith. It was his faith that brought him back. So it didn't fail. It couldn't have failed. You know what? Peter, when he hacked that guy's ear off, the Lord healed that ear. Right there on the spot. Told him, put your sword away. It's not time for that right now. Put your sword up. Don't you know that probably made him mad? Lord, you told me to buy this sword. You know, just 8 verses back, he told him to buy a sword. I think Peter got mad. Now, how many times have you gotten mad? You prayed for something, didn't go your way. You saw somebody sick and somebody in your family got real bad sick and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and they died. And you get mad. That's what happened with Peter. I believe he got mad. He got mad and he walked away. He walked away. But you know what happened? The beginning of his fall, the very beginning of Peter's fall was this. In Matthew 26:58, you read this. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. You start following afar off. just a little bit. You can't follow afar off and wind up being effective for the Lord. You can't do that. You can't follow afar off and be a good, strong Christian. You got to be close. You got to be close. Do you think when Peter went to sink in the water, do you know Peter walked on the water? I mean, you think about that. My Bible's clear on that. Peter walked on the water to go to the Lord. Stepped out of the boat, stepped right out on the water, and was walking on the water until he got his focus off the Lord. When he got to focusing on the water and focusing on the storm, that's when he sunk. That's what happens to us. That's how we fall. That's what he done right here. He following afar off. Do you know if he hadn't been so close when he started sinking, the Lord couldn't have reached down and grabbed him that fast. He just sank. He was that close when he fell. The Lord just pulled him right back up, just like he'll do you and me. Amen. Just like he's always done us. He will every time do the same thing. Listen, now here's when he fell. In Matthew 26, beginning 69, now Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And he again denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Now you think about that. I think when they said that, for thy speech bewrayeth thee, he was talking like a Christian. I think he was talking like somebody. See, because immediately when they said that, he began to curse and to swear. So he hadn't been doing that before. That was something he's just started doing. And that's the progression that we get. It's not an instant thing. You don't turn and walk away. I just can't lay these notes down and walk off and say I'm done with the Lord. That ain't how that happens. It's a progression. You start someplace and then you wind up someplace else. And that's what happens with us. And if we were aware of where we were, if we aware of the circumstances around us and how they're coming, you know, anytime you have a real good day, if I'm up here right now and the Lord blesses this message today, tomorrow I better look for a fight. I better be ready for a fight tomorrow because it'll happen. If the Lord gives me anything tonight that helps anybody, tomorrow the devil's after me. Amen. Or I'm after myself, whichever comes worse. Most of the time it's me. I'm my own worst enemy. But listen to what happened. It said, and immediately the cock crew, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Right. Peter was still soft-hearted enough right there that tore him out of the frame. And there's always going to be something. There's always going to be a verse for you. I don't know about you, but I've got mine. And if you really been serving the Lord any length of time at all, and you really, really know him, and you spent time in his word, there's a verse in this book that means something to you. Right. It's something that he said, something that he spoke to you, only you. And that's, I've got mine. When I was struggling with the call to preach and didn't really know whether I was ever going to be called to preach or not. I mean, I thought I was, but I was scared to death too. And I tried it and I quit and I tried it and I quit. And I was just beat down with it. I asked that man right there in the foyer one day before we ever had this beautiful new building. I said, Preacher, I've got a burden on me I can't stand. Can you pray with me? He came up there and he said, Absolutely, brother. We would come right up here to this side of the altar. We got down on that altar right there, and that big old fella put his hand right in the middle of my back, and the first words out of his mouth was the verse that God used to call me to preach. The very verse. Romans 11:29, For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Everywhere I turned, I saw that verse. I'd open a new Bible, brand new Bible, honest to goodness. Open it the first time, there's the verse. Can't get away from it. Amen. I asked him to pray for me, first thing out of his mouth. Father, you said in your word. I went, oh, now I can't get away from the call at all. There's no running from that. So there I was. But you know what? Thank God that Simon Peter was still soft-hearted enough that it didn't take him a long time. Some of us, it takes a long time for us to turn around. Some of us takes a good long while to ever come back. But you know what? Simon Peter was still soft-hearted enough to where he could turn around and come back pretty good. You know what? You know for sure that he had walked away. You know for sure that he had laid down his cross and was not following the Lord. Because when the angel, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the angel that told Mary to go back to his disciples, he told that angel told her, go tell his disciples and Peter. And Peter. You know, you can be a Christian, not be a disciple. A disciple comes from the word discipline, folks. If you're a disciple, you are a disciplined Christian who follows the Lord close. You're not walking afar off. There's Peter. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Do you know what else? In Mark 16 said that his disciples didn't believe two reports. They didn't believe her. They didn't believe the two on the road to Emmaus. So Peter was with that bunch that didn't even believe. They still hadn't believed yet that he was done. Now right before this passage right here I'm about to read, Peter said, told a couple other disciples, I go fishing. He's going back to his old life, right? He's headed right back to his old life. That's what he wants to do. He's just about to give up now. He's already come far enough that he thinks he can quit. So he's out there on the boat, and that's when the Lord came out, you know, and called him from the shore. That's when they brought in that biggest haul of fish they'd ever hauled, 153 fish. All kinds of fish. Do you know Peter got out of the boat to come to the Lord, but he went back and drug that net back in. He still got his 1 foot in the world, still got that 1 foot in there. But then when he come to the Lord right here's where Peter returned unto the Lord. In John 21, you read this. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now I learned this right here from Eric Nabziger one time. I heard him preach this, and I never had ever pictured that in my head until just then. I always thought the these were the other disciples.
No,
it was the fish. Lovest thou me more than... Do you love me more than your old life, Simon? Do you love me more than fishing? Do you love me, Rick? Rick, do you love me more than driving that truck? That's the way it works. Yep. He wants to find out where your allegiance is. Once he finds out, then he can do something with you. But thank God for the mercy. Listen, every time we come to God, he meets us with mercy. Every time. Listen to what he said. He said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he did know. He knew. He wanted Peter to know. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now Peter was grieved because he said it to him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Amen. You know what he just did? When Jesus called him back up there, and Simon Peter had returned to the Lord just now. He'd given back. He'd give up. You know I love you, Lord. You know I do. And the Lord put him right back on the battlefield. He restored him just like he'll restore you. See, the thing about it is, when you come back to him, he doesn't set you in the back. When you come back to the Lord, he doesn't give up on you. We give up on him. He never gives up on us. So Simon Peter came back. He said this here. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. You're back now. Follow me.
Amen.
Don't keep walking in that direction. When I go this way, you go this way. You know, that's why he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. If you're yoked up together, if you're yoked together with him, when he turns this way, you turn that way. You don't have a choice if you're yoked together. One turns, the other turns. You go this way and that way. That's what he wants from us. He wants us that close that when he turns, we don't have to look around and say, where'd you go, Lord? We go with him. He wants us to be that way. Now I'm going to tell you something else. There's a man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 who fell hard. And I mean, he fell hard, y'all. I'm going to tell you something. Paul said that wasn't such as even named among the Gentiles. In other words, they wouldn't even talk about what he did. It was so bad. Now, I choose to think and I choose to believe because of the wording that was his stepmother, because it says his father's wife. But here we got an adulterer and a fornicator in the church, and he's living in the church. He hadn't left the building, but he's fell hard. Now, here's what happened. They run him off. They had to get rid of him. Excuse me. Paul told them to put him out. Paul said to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit would be saved in the day of the Lord. That's what Paul told him. Okay. Now, here's what happened. That guy got right. I'm trying to save a little time here and to go through this instead of reading that whole story. But that guy got right. He returned unto the Lord. And you know what Paul done? Paul told that bunch to take him back. Now think about that a minute. They were told to restore him. See, we serve a God that is a God of restoration. See, that's what he is. Every one of us has been restored. If we're born again, you've been restored. So we serve a God that can and will restore us. So what he done, listen to what Paul done. I like this. I got one place here I want to read with this. Let me get to it. There we go. So listen to what Paul said. He said, but if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. He's talking about them putting the guy out of the church. He's talking about them turning him over to the destruction of the flesh. He said, so that contrariwise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Now, who's he telling that to? Amen, brother. He's telling that to the church. That's our job. That's what we ought to do. When one is out and gone and comes back, we ought to comfort them. We ought to help them. We ought to strengthen them. We ought to be that arm that they can hold to pull them back up. Reach down to someone. You know, he said to condescend to men of low estate. That's what we ought to do. And a man of low estate is somebody who has walked away, has fallen by the wayside, and we ought to help them up. You know, that good Samaritan that helped that guy up by the wayside, the priest and the Levites walked by him and left him laying there bleeding to death. But it was a good Samaritan that came by and picked him up and took him to the inn and paid the innkeeper to take care of him and told him, if he needs anything else, I'll be back to help him. He said, which one do you think was neighbor to that man? Which one do you think was neighbor to him? Would you have been his neighbor? Would you? That's what we need to think about. Do you know what? Albert Barnes' commentary on this verse, he said in verse 2, in chapter 2 and verse 8, wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love to him. That's what Paul said. Confirm your love to that man that was an adulterer and a fornicator. And now he's got right and he's come back. You confirm your love to him. You know what Albert Barnes said? He said this. He said, the word here rendered confirm, and it's got the Greek word, and he could read it, and I ain't got an idea in my mind what it looks Greek to me. Anyway, the word confirm occurs in the New Testament only here and in Galatians 3:15. It means to give authority, to establish as valid, to confirm. And here means that they should give strong expressions and assurances of their love to him, that they should pursue such a course as would leave no room for doubt in regard to it. Now you think about that. If this guy's gone, I've fallen. I've been out of church for 2 years. Y'all hadn't seen my face. I come back in here and I come weeping down that aisle and I get on this altar and I get right. How are you going to treat me? Am I going to know you love me? Hey, you know what Jesus said? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love one for another. And this is my commandment, that I, as I have loved you, so love you one another. That's a commandment. It's not an option. But does that happen? How does that take place in our churches today? Now, no possible message on restoration and returning unto the Lord could ever get anywhere without the prodigal son. You got to get on him. There's nothing you can do. And I've preached that message in here before, and I'm not going to preach it all over again, but I want to hit on a few things on him. Because this is it. This is return unto the Lord right here. This is all there is about it, really. I mean, if you want to get real serious, this is the chapter on it. Return unto the Lord. So this is what happened. I want you to look at the beginning of his fall in Luke 15:11. He said this. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. So here's this kid with this give me attitude. That's where he started going wrong. That's where his fall began, was he had a give to me right now attitude. Ever seen anybody like that lately? Hey, we're ate up with that today. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and y'all know this by studying your Bibles already, but this son, this father and son right here, this is a picture of God the Father. Now, types and pictures only go so far. You can't run them all the way, because if you could, then this, you know, this would have to say it was God the Father. But this father right here did his son no favor by giving him his living. See, and you don't do yours any favors by handing them everything they reach their hand out and say, give me, give me, give me, give me. You don't teach them anything if you don't teach them to work. Your job is to prepare them to live in the society that we're in right now and to teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't get anything from you if they don't get that. See, that's what they need. But no, that's not what we do for the most part. I've seen them in Walmart. I've seen a kid smack his mother in Walmart, and she got mad and scared of him. She was afraid of him. He was about this tall. I thought, well, I would knock that kid plumb across that aisle. Sorry, don't call the government. Seriously, do you know why a kid needs a whipping? Because there's a rotten spirit in him. And the Bible says the rod of correction will drive it far from him.
Amen.
He said, though you beat him with rods, he shall not die.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about beating him to death, and that's not what the Bible's talking about. Do you know if you played the drums and you're doing this, you're beating the drum? Did that sound like that was going to hurt? You can beat a kid without killing it. You can beat a kid without really hurting them. But they need to have a good beating from time to time. This boy had one. If he'd have had one, he might not have gotten the shape he was in.
Amen.
You think about that. He got handed what he asked for. Hey, you know our attitude ought to be? Instead of give me, give me, give me, our attitude should be, what can I give you? What can I give to this problem? What can I give to help you? That ought to be our attitude, not give it to me. Come on. I've seen people come in here and sit down in church, all right, come on, pour it to me. Bless me if you can. That ain't how we ought to be. That was the beginning of his fall. Now look at his fall here in 13. I hope everybody's in Luke 15 by now. I didn't say that's where I went, but everybody should know this already. It's getting hot up here. In Luke 15, in 13, he said this. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Do you know sometimes God in his wisdom will allow you to hit rock bottom? You sometimes have got to be flat on your back, rock bottom, where the only way to look is up. That's what we need sometimes. It's not fun. It's not good for you, or at least you don't think it is. I know a good friend of mine who says right now, he'd tell you today, God shot him in the leg to get him on his back where he could look at him. Do you know what he done? He had a .45 caliber pistol, a 1911, laying on the ground a foot from his body. Nobody touching it. Nobody touching it. And the gun went off. I don't know if God didn't shoot him. Just tell you the truth. He's a Christian. Wandered away. Turned his back. God got his attention. He said the last thing he remembers hearing before they got him in the hospital was the ambulance attendee telling the driver, we got to go. He said, yeah, I know. He said, no, we got to go. And that's when he blacked out. Come to himself a few days later. And he came to himself. Thank God he came to himself. Listen, sometimes rock bottom hurts. Sometimes it hurts real, real bad. But you know what? Sometimes it begins with having too much. I mean, seriously, we got so much in this country. We're so blessed. And we got so much. We make it about the stuff. It's all about how much stuff can I die with before I die. You know, got to have the biggest, got to have the smartest, got to have the best. If you got an 80-inch TV, I got to have 100. If you got 100, I'll build one on this wall right here, cover that whole wall, man. I don't care what it costs. We'll finance the kids if we have to get that done. That's the way it works. That's what he was doing. That's all he was after was the money and getting a good time. Well, he found out at rock bottom that wasn't the place for him. Thank God he found out at rock bottom. One of my favorite passages in here is right here in verse 17, and when he came to himself. He came to himself. I remember coming to myself one day. I remember when I came to myself. I remember when I was out in the hog lot. I remember when I stuck my head down there and gladly would have ate the slop. I remember that. I remember when all my friends forsook me. They weren't friends. Your worldly friends don't love you. They love you as long as you got money or drugs or some kind of car to haul them around where they want to go, but they don't love you. My worldly friends dropped me like a hot rock, and I remember the day when I came to myself. I can remember it just as clear as a bell. I'm telling you, the Lord spoke to me so clear that day, and it was Romans 11:29. And I didn't think, I had been called to preach, folks, and backslid on God and walked away. I laid my Bible down and walked off. Now you'd think, a preacher can't do that. How can a preacher do that? Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Just stop reading your Bible for a week. I don't recommend it. But that's what will happen. Lay it down for a week. Stop praying. Stop praying for a couple weeks. You'll be on your own real soon. Real soon you'll be on your own. You won't like it. You won't like it. But thank God. Here's what happened with him. He repented. See, that's what we got to do. That's what we need to do so bad. We need to repent. That's what it takes for you to get back in and return unto the Lord. It takes repentance. Because if you didn't need to repent, you wouldn't be out there and gone. See? So we need to return to the Lord. So first thing is repentance. Look what he said in verse 18. He said, I will arise and go to my Father. Hey, that's good. That's a start, ain't it? That is a good start. But you can sit there at home all week long and say, I'm going to church on Sunday. Until you put your shoes on and go out the door, you ain't really done much. I mean, you can say it all week. You can say it a month. But you got to put your shoes on. Now look in verse 20. I like this better too. And he arose. He arose. He got up. He put feet to his repentance. That's what it takes. That's how you get back. You know what? I am so thankful that you can repent. If you couldn't repent, we'd all be in trouble. We all need repentance from time to time. Amen. You know, repentance is for Christians. Amen. I mean, I hate people that don't think that, but that's sad for them, but it is. Amen. If you don't think you need to repent, if you don't think you've ever had anything to repent from, you need to repent from that thought. Amen. I mean, we need to repent and turn around. Amen. So that's what he did. He arose. He got up. Now listen to what he said. He arose and came to his Father. Hallelujah. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, I'm going to get a little dirty right here with you for a minute. That old boy had been sticking his head in the hog trough. He was filthy. He was nasty. You ever smelled a hog lot? There ain't nothing in life stinks worse than a hog lot. This boy's down there feeding them and living with them and eating with them. And he come home. He finally got up. He said, I can't stand this no more. I'm going home. Thank God for people that'll go home. I came home one day, folks, and it was good. I'm going to tell you something. It's been good ever since I came back, too. God never turned me away. But you know what? His father ran to him. It's the only time in the Bible you ever see God run. And he's running to somebody. and he ran to him. And he didn't say, "Oh my gosh, you stink." No, he didn't. He grabbed him and he hugged him and he kissed him. He loved him. He loved him while he was filthy. He never stopped loving him. You come to God and you'll receive love and forgiveness. Not one time. He'll not turn you away. He'll not tell you you stink. He'll not tell you to go back to the hog lot. He'll put his arms around you and he'll love you and he'll kiss you. That's what he does. That's who he is. The Bible says that God is love. Nobody loved you like Jesus did. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. That's one of my favorite songs, man. Nobody. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to come back. He'll never turn away a repentant soul. Never. He can't. It's not in his nature. But then you got the elder brother. See, this guy come back. And I like what happened here. I almost skipped off over all of that. But he said this. He said, "But the father said to his servants." Now see, he went in there and was going to say, "Father, I'm no good. Don't even call me your son anymore. Just let me work with the servants." But that wasn't going to happen. The father said, no. "No, y'all go get the best robe. Bring hither the best robe and you put it on him." You put it on him. See, when he comes home, we ought to love him back. Just like what Paul said, leaving no doubt. There should be no doubt we love them when they come home. Everybody, anybody. And I'm going to tell you something. In a crowd this size, some of you need to return to the Lord tonight. Amen. In a crowd this size, I guarantee you there's a couple of you that ain't where you ought to be. And there's a place right here he wants to meet you. He'll run to you. You won't get down the aisle before he comes to you. He'll get a hold of you and he'll love on you and he'll bring you down there and pray with you. Amen. That's the way that works. That's how he does things. That's how he loves us. Do you know what? He said, put a ring on his finger. He told them to put the ring on his finger. It's all about us and what we do when they come home. See? Because we ought to be the hands of Jesus in this church, right? That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be like him. "As I have loved you, so love ye one another." That's what he said. So they're supposed to put the ring on him and put shoes on his feet. Get him busy. Let him go do something for you. See, he put him back. He restored him back to his position. That's what happens when we return unto the Lord, is restoration. But you know what? You got the elder brother. And that elder brother, he ain't never left and never gone nowhere. He's been right here in the church the whole time. And I promise you, our pastor knows who the elder brothers are in this church. I promise you, he knows who you are. And we got some. We do. We've got some. Every church has got the older brother. "Well, I ain't never left. I've sat right here on this fourth row." Sorry about fourth row. "I've sat here on the third row and I ain't never left." No, second row's empty. "I've sat here on the second row for 30 years and I ain't never left." Yeah, and you ain't never done nothing either. The pew didn't get up and run off with you on it. Thank God it's still here. That's what this guy's about. He's still sitting in church. He's still singing in the choir. He might still be preaching in the pulpit. But he's as far gone as his little brother. And he needs to return unto the Lord. He needs to repent. Yes, you know what he said? Preacher said something this morning in his message that really got a hold of me. Because I had seen this and I'd never seen this before in here. But look in verse 30. Look at what this son said. He said, and I can hear him saying it so much. I'm going to back up to 28. "And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him." I was like, "Come on, son, look." And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends." Liar. Liar. He's the elder brother. In Israel, the elder brother got a double portion. And the Bible says, "And he divided unto them his living." Liar. He divided unto them his living. So look what he said, though. Look what he said. "But as soon as this thy son was come." Can you hear him saying it that way? Think about it. He's so mad. He's so aggravated. I've stayed here and I've worked for you and I've done this and I've done that and I've never left. And this, your son shows up. Man, he's mad. He is fighting mad. Listen to what he said, though. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed the fatted calf for him. Do you ever think about where he got that from? What made him think he devoured his living with harlots? He didn't go to the far country. He stayed right there at home. You know what preacher said this morning? You got a guy all the time preaching about the same subject, that's what's bothering him. You got one preaching about alcohol all the time, he's probably wanting a drink. You got one preaching about short skirts all the time, he's probably watching them way too much. This guy right here, the Bible says that every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. What do you think his own lust was? He'd been stuck at home. He didn't have time to get out and play around. That's what he was mad about. And we got them sitting in our churches. They're mad because they can't get out there and live like that guy that's been backslid for 10 years. And when he comes home, they're upset because he got to go do it. Now look at him. He's right back in here and everybody's patting him on the back and loving on him. And I've been right here this whole time. That's how they act. Am I lying? That's how they act. I've been around Christians a long time now. And that's how they act. But we don't need to be that way. We ought not to need that. We ought not to do that. God has opened the door for each and every one of us to return unto the Lord. Anytime, any place, He will open that door and let you come back. You don't have to fight Him. You don't have to fuss and lie about your inheritance. He'll take you back too. He'll take the one in the hog pen, the nasty stinking one, and He'll take the one that's still got the suit on and the tie. Amen. He'll take all of them. He's not picky about it. All He wants is what's good for you. Do you know it's good for you to be home? Do you know it's good for you to be in church and following the Lord? Amen. There's nothing better for you. There's nothing outside those doors that's more valuable than what's in this book.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
There's nothing outside those doors that's more valuable than the fellowship we have one with another.
Amen.
This, hey, listen, y'all know me. I've been here a long time. And I'm telling you, I've got good friends in this place. Not just brothers in Christ, but good friends in this place that I would give anything for. And they'd give anything for me. This is a good place. Why don't we just return unto the Lord? What is it that you're holding on to? You know, what is it that you could not turn loose of to come back?
Right.
What kind of husk are you chewing on? I mean, you know, you might be eating steak today, but you might have your face in a hog pen tomorrow. God ain't going to let you sit out there and eat steak forever. We're going to have to turn around one day. Turn while it's easy. See, Simon Peter turned while it was easy. The other boy, he didn't turn while it was so easy. And then the prodigal son, he got plumb to the bottom. But he took them all back. And he restored every one of them. He put them right back where he got them from. They came back and they took their proper place.
Amen.
Do you know this church is the local body? We're a local assembly right here. This is the body of Christ on Woodrow Drive. You know, this body has parts. God hath placed the members in the body as it hath pleased Him. Doesn't matter where you think you're supposed to be. God puts them where He wants them to be. Now, if that's His mission, his thing to do, and all of our members ain't here, this body can't function like it ought to function. I mean, it just can't. If I took my left arm off and laid it over there on the organ and stayed over here, I couldn't open my Bible. We need all of our parts. We do. So we ought to be praying for those parts that ain't here.
Right.
We ought to be trying to love them back to the Lord, that they could return to the Lord. But before we ever do, some of us are going to have to return. And that's just the way it is. Some of us right now should be getting up and walking down here. Somebody right this minute ought to be moving. That's your cue. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we do love You. We thank you, Father, for being so merciful to us. Lord, there's never a time that you don't love us. God, I know that there's times you're not overjoyed with us, but I know you always love us. And I ask you, Father, that you'd manifest yourself in this place. Father, you know these people, you know them, and I can't know them like you do. And I ask you now, you'd just help them to see what they need, each and every one here, and we'll thank you for it. Now, Father, go with us when we leave this service. Be with them in Jesus' name. Amen.